Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
Okay, welcome. We're on chapter 50, Yeshaya, or Yeshayahu. And the theme, I often feel when, you know, when they talk about the Jews in exile, that I get excited because he's talking to us. You know, like the one thing he's talking about, the first base of Migdosh, he's talking about, and we're really always supposed to see it as if they're talking to us, but specifically when he deals with, like, you know, we're living in the United States and the Jews are far away from Hashem, and it's such an unusual situation. And so then when you see that a prophet who lived 2,000 years ago was talking about these times and about what's going to be, and one of the challenges they faced, this really right after the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, there were some Jews who felt that Hashem sent us away. Hashem allowed an army to overcome the land of Israel, and therefore he got rid of us, so to speak. He rejected us, and since he rejected us, maybe we no longer our heart belong to Hashem. Maybe we should do some other religion, or maybe we no longer have a loyalty or a need to follow Hashem because he's sent us away. And again, the irony of this is that there are Christians who say that. Oh, you Jews were sent away, you know, we were picked, you know. And all they have to do is open the scripture, which they say is the truth, and they'll see that it says the opposite, that Hashem is saying, of course I never divorced you, of course I never gave, you know, that the Jewish people is like my you know, little child that a mother would never forget. But it's just so strange that they could believe in such things or say such things, and imagine that we just don't open the Torah and see what it says. but there are Jews that sometimes feel like Hashem has abandoned us. If you lived in Europe, where Jews are afraid to wear a yarmulke. There are Jews that are afraid to wear a yarmulke. They're just not afraid. Realistically, they could be attacked. And there are Jews that live in Arab countries that they live in very difficult circumstances. And so they feel that Hashem has rejected them. So Hashem says over here, Kol Amar Hashem, thus says Hashem. Eza Sefer Krisis, it is true that we didn't merit to live in the land of Israel, that we don't merit to live in a place where Hashem's Shekhinah dwells amongst us, but if he sent us away permanently, he would have sent a bill of divorce. The bill of divorce is a Sefer Krisis. It's a Sefer, a bill or a book. Krisis means cut or divide. One of the worst penalties a person can get is there are certain sins where a person gets karis, which means they're cut off. And a divorce is like a total, it's not just a separation, it's a total cut off. So this is what Hashem says, like, where you have no right to think that you were permanently sent away, because if that were true, there would have been a bill of divorce. There would have been a total separation. And not only that, you're accusing Hashem as being the one that sent you away. That's not true. Hashem didn't send you away. Asher shalachtem, that he sent you away. We're going to see that we ourselves chose to worship strange gods and to leave, you know, to reject Hashem. And so Hashem is waiting to take us back. The other possibility, one possibility is that he sent them a bill of divorce. Or maybe he transferred their loyalty, or he gave the deed. You know, I can't deal with the Jewish people. I give them over to someone else. So he says, I didn't give you over to the credit bureau. I didn't lease you out to someone else, some other people, some other. Oh, mi menushi asher macharti eschem. You know, who's the other creditor? Who do you think took over? Like, in other words, you're still mine. Our relationship is still there. Hashem never, there's no bill of divorce, and there's no, you haven't been sold to some other, Now, sometimes you have a company you're doing business with, and all of a sudden you find that they sold it to a different company, you know, someone else, or they got taken over, and you get a call, and, oh, we're the ones that took over the, you know, whatever it is. So Hashem says, that doesn't happen with Hashem. He doesn't, like, outsource, you know, someone in China will say, oh, okay, you pray to me from now on. No, it doesn't work that way. So we should never think that it's Hashem rejected us. That's not true. So then what did happen? Hey, Babanosechem, because we sinned, and this word avon means like we swerved away. We turned away. Nimkartim, we sold ourselves. Ubetishechem, and with our sin, shuchol imachem, your mother got sent away. Our mother would be the earlier generations. So it's not even us. In other words, we who are descended from people that lived many, many years ago and maybe sinned many, many years ago, we were never sent away. We were never, Hashem never made a bill of divorce. We are still part of that relationship. But we should be aware that that generation sinned and they swerved away. But we can come. We can enter. And in fact, Hashem is waiting for us to come back. Verse 2, Madu abasi vein ish karasi. Why is it when I come and I come to say hello, you're not there? Hello? So the Gemara says a very interesting thing. It says that this happens when when there's a synagogue which doesn't have a minyan. It's like Hashem comes and you're not there. Where is everybody? You know, you come to synagogue sometimes and it's empty. And so, Madua Ba'asi, why is it that I come, referring to Hashem, the Ein Ish Karasi, no one's there to call to me. So, they know not. And I call, there's no one picks up the phone. HaKetzar Ketzari Yadim Hibdus. Do you think that I can't redeem you? Do you think that my hand is too short? Some, you know, it's like when somebody falls in the water and they need somebody to reach out their hand to them. So you need somebody who can reach, you know, who can lend you a, you think Hashem's hand is too short, like we're sinking in the exile, like we have our challenges and we have our difficulties. Do you think Hashem can't pull us out? Hashem can't, his hand is too, of course he can help us. Of course he wants to help us. Of course he's there when we call him. But unfortunately we don't call him. We don't tell him that we're ready. And so he's affirming this message to us that, you know, all we have to do is Hashem will be there. We just have to call to him. And if we're in trouble, we need someone to give us a hand. Do you think Hashem can't do it? Of course he can do it. Now, maybe you might think that Hashem wants to give a hand, but he's no longer chas v'shalom powerful. Like, you know, maybe in the old days, that's when he did the, you know, he did the 10 plagues and he did the stuff, but you know, he's tired, he's an old man by now, or old woman, whatever Hashem is, he's not able to do what he used to do. It's been a long time since we had a big miracle. So Hashem speaking to that, v'im ein bi koyach, do you think Hashem says, I don't have strength to save you? I'm waiting for the call, I'm waiting for you, you know, parent waits for a child to talk to them, to ask for their help, to ask for their advice, to ask for, Hashem says, you think I can't help you? Hein begarasi achav yam. Hashem says, you know, all I have to do is, begarasi is a very interesting word. It means, if you don't like something, you give them a look. You know, there's a certain look that's called a ga'ara, like a rejection. When King Shaul was unhappy with his son Yonasan, he gave him a look. There's a certain, I had a school principal that with his look, he could kill. I'm telling you, I don't know exactly what it was, but we were afraid of that look. Like, he would look at you, and that was it, you know. It was like, I can't explain it. He had like a certain stare, and we were afraid of him, and you know, but he had you didn't want to be on his bad side. You didn't want him to give you a certain look. And, you know, with Hashem's look, he could make the ocean go dry. You know, don't think that Hashem is not, all he has to do, you know, with our look, all we get is a look. But if Hashem's look, if Hashem, you think Hashem doesn't have power? If Hashem is dissatisfied, not even angry, if he's just, you know, gives something a look, akriv yam, he could make the sea go dry. Ashim naros midbar, he could make the desert flow with water. Tivish dignosam, and if he makes the the rivers go dry, Tibet, that you know, be no fish, and they'll die. Me'ein mayim v'tamus v'tama, and the fish and the sea creatures would all die. Basically, Hashem has the ability to create and to destroy, and He does so constantly. And so, we should never think that there's no use. Hashem isn't interested in us, or Hashem sent us away, or Hashem doesn't have the power. This is clearly not true. Verse 3. Al b'shamayim kadros. If Hashem wants to, He can make the world go dark. As we saw yesterday with all those tornadoes. Did any of you see the images? Like the, I just don't remember if it was always like you could see bad weather in 100, you know, in a dozen places. They look at the clouds and the typhoons and the, today they have video cameras everywhere and they set them up and you don't have to be there and the, it's just incredible. You could see like the wind and the rain and the, you know, it's the, so Hashem says, you know, if He wants, He can clothe the Shemayim in darkness. V'sak asim ksusim. And, He can bring mourning to people and to conquerors and to that's the basic discussion is it's really in the hands of Hashem. Life is in the hands of Hashem. He's just waiting for us to talk to Him. He's waiting for us to ask Him. And we still have this relationship, and we are it's a relationship of like a spouse, of like a partnership, a close partnership where Hashem loves us and cares for us, and we've gone away from Him, or our mother, so to speak, went away from Him. With earlier generations have turned from Him with their sins, but we can come back, and Hashem is waiting for us. And if we come, He's gonna listen to us, and He's has as much power as He's always had. And so that's the introduction to the words of the prophet. Now he's going to talk about his life mission. It's interesting here. I mean, you could have had this as the first chapter, or the. But he kind of describes his speech. It's interesting, you know, when you hear a speaker and they sometimes tell you how they got into this line. You know, it's always interesting. You know, I remember when I first started, or this is what I've been. So now this is what Yeshaya kind of tells us. He's giving all this poetic. Beautiful speeches and bringing people back, and also, you know, to say, you know, where's the bill of divorce? That's like a strong, you know, that's a strong sermon. So he says, well, you might think that I've always been a good speaker. I always knew how to do this. So he says, no, Hashem Elokim Nastani Lashon Lamudim. Hashem gives me. He's the one who taught me how to. He gives me the words. There are people like that are shy personally, but like somehow like Hashem gives them the words or tells them what to say, or and often it's like that when a person has a will to do something, that Hashem gives the person the ability to say the right thing or do the right thing that a person didn't even know they had it in them to speak up or to say what needed to be said. But Hashem gives that to a person. Hashem nasan li lashon lamudim. It's interesting in the Hebrew, lashon means a tongue. Lumudim is like to limud, to learn or to teach. Ladas la'aves esayor. If he teaches me how to wake up the tired, you know, somebody who's faint, he gives me the words. Davar yar. Every morning he gives me words, wake up words. He teaches me how to wake people up. That's really where the tradition of like a sermon or words. It's to try to inspire people. Try to wake them up, try to help them see things that they could be capable of. That's the Hashem gives that to the prophet. Yorli, Ozen. How do I know, you know, he gives me the tongue to speak these things, but that's, you have to have a message to give it. So where do I get the message from? So Hashem also wakens in me an ear to hear the things that I need to teach. Like, I find this is a challenge to prepare. It takes a long time. Not necessarily for this class. I one of the reasons I like this class, I like to teach text, because then you just, text gives the class. Yeah. You notice, you know, you read the text and the text tells you. But if you have to prepare a speech, so then you have to think, what am I going to say? And then you have to, so sometimes it's a challenge to find what are you going to say? What are you going to, you know, what are you going to, you know, some people, they can sit down and they have lots of lectures prepared and they just, you know, ready to go. And sometimes you got to think, what do I want to say to these people? What is it?
So Hashem, he says that Hashem gave me the tongue to say it, and he also gave me the ears to hear the message that I'm going to deliver. It always works out. We kind of believe that Hashem gives you a message to deliver, but sometimes you know right away what you want to say, and then other times you have to think for a second, you know. So, you know, in most places, if you ask what message you want to deliver, they'll say the quickest one, the shortest, you know. Whatever you can deliver quickly, you know, as long as you're short, they don't care what you say. They like you to tell a few stories, a few jokes, whatever it is. But it's a realistic question, like, what do I need to, you know, what am I supposed to be saying? What am I? So Hashem really gives a person an ear to hear. That's what if you ever speak, that's what your prayer should be, is that Hashem should give me an idea of what's the right thing to say. Use this opportunity to speak and to say the words that will be effective. Verse 5. Now, when he got this job, it was like a mission. This is really, being a prophet is a very tough job, because part of prophecy is to rebuke people, is to tell them you're doing wrong, and the people that are doing wrong aren't the ones that want to be rebuked. In other words, they're not the ones that, just think about it. Try to tell somebody that what they're doing is wrong, and what kind of response do you get? You know, who asked you, or what, you know, worse than that. But the prophets had to go around, and they had to rebuke people of power. They had to rebuke the politicians and the officers, and they lived in societies where the people weren't used to that. Like, in if you went against the king, you could be executed. You know, you couldn't speak up against the king. I mean, just a short time ago, people that lived under Stalin, or they lived in communist China, if you spoke against somebody publicly, that was it. They used to say that in the rallies in the Soviet Union, if you stopped clapping too soon, they could send you away for that. You know? So they had one rally where everybody was afraid to stop clapping, and so they were clapping, and it was like their hands were hurting, and like nobody wanted to be the one to stop first, because that meant, you know. And then, like, finally, somehow, I don't know what happened, someone gave a signal, or some older person just couldn't do it anymore, he stopped, and it, like, everybody stopped. And the famous story from Khrushchev or whatever, they all tell over that story. But people were afraid. And even in a Jewish country, you had false prophets. So if somebody would come and tell you off, just because a person is being told off doesn't mean that it's true. You know, there'll always be someone who'll tell you what you're doing is wrong. You know, that's we're not shy about having different opinions, and people will tell you, you know, it comes with the territory that you're going to say something. Something you do is going to be unpopular with someone. That's always going to be so. So therefore, when he got chosen for this job, so what was his reaction? So he said, Hashem Elohim, I don't necessarily see this connected to the first prophecy where it was Hashem talking. Again, part of the challenge is that they put all these prophecies together, and they really don't necessarily connect one to another. Even these chapters are part of one Haftorah and part of another Haftorah. It's not really, now he's talking personally. This is Isaiah talking, Yeshayahu talking. So he says, Hashem gave me the ear. That he kind of opened up my ear. He gave me the ability to hear the words of prophecy. There were people that wanted prophecy, but no one spoke to them. You know, they just never got. He said, "Banochi lo marisi." He said, "I didn't rebel. I didn't turn away." Lo nesug. You know, sometimes people were given a job, they didn't want it. Now, because of this job, he said, "Gave me nesati lamachim." It meant that I would get slapped in the face. You know, if you try to tell somebody what to do and they don't like it, they're going to hit you. That's the way it is. And he said, he gave his. They hit him in the back. They hit him in the face. Lo estarti meklimos, and I knew that I would hear embarrassing things. Baroque. Sometimes I'd get spit at. He didn't. So therefore, even though the job meant by nature that if you're going to rebuke people and you're going to tell them off, that you're going to face getting hit or getting spit at. He didn't let that get in the way of what he had to do. Yeah, but that's what he describes, that even though this job meant that he would face the worst embarrassments and the worst spit and like you said, pulling out the beard or the being hit. So some people say what he was saying is that he faced that, but Hashem helped him that he didn't actually, it didn't happen to him. Verse 7, Hashem Elohim, Yazali, Al-Kain Lo Nakamti, Hashem helped me, it didn't actually happen, but it could have happened. Other people say it did happen. We don't really know. With other prophets, there were, you know, Yirmiyahu was thrown into quicksand. There were other prophets had other things happen to him. We have a tradition that he was killed by his grandson, who was a king. Yeshaya, he was killed by Menashe, and so for words that he rebuked him with. So you know, maybe this happened, but he says that Hashem helped me. Al kein lo kamti, I'm not embarrassed. Al kein samti panei kachamish. He said he made his face like stone, like he can't be hurt. The Eda kilo, and I know I won't be embarrassed. In last week's parsha, it says that when Esav came against Yaakov. According to some people, when he went to Yaakov, he was going to bite him. And he didn't initially intend to kiss him. So there's one view that at the very last minute, Hashem caused him to have pity on him and he gave him a hug. But other people say that he wanted to bite him, and when he tried to bite him, he hurt his teeth on Yaakov's neck, because Yaakov were stiff-necked people. So it was like a... and so Hashem caused him that he wasn't able to harm Yaakov. That's why it says he cried, because he hurt his teeth. He was trying to, you know, he bit him and he banged his teeth or whatever it was. But that's he's saying that Hashem helps a person that he won't be affected by this. When people are motivated to do what they need to do, they really aren't, you know, they can deal with the different challenges they face. Verse 8. Korav Matzike. Besides that, I knew that he said that Hashem's going to come and prove that what I'm saying is true. In other words, somebody would say, it's not true, you're a false prophet, whatever. The one that would come and prove that I was true was close by. Mi Yarviti, who would dare fight with me? Naman Yaka, Mi Baal Mishpat, what does the person have to say? Verse 9, I got the right person on my side. We have the right, you know, with Hashem with us, we have nothing to be afraid of. Hein Hashem Elohim Yazerli. You know, Hashem is our help. This in modern Hebrew, you'll hear Hashem Yazor. I don't know if you ever heard that. That's like Israelis, Hashem will help. That's a very common expression in you'll hear, like Hashem Yazor. Hashem will help. Hashem, you know, who's going to be? Hashem Yazerli. Hashem will help me. And Mihu Yarsheni, you know, who could say I'm doing the wrong thing? Now, there are people that say I'm doing the wrong thing. What will happen to them? Kulam kabeged yivlu. They will be like a worn-out cloth. Ush yochem. Sometimes you had a cloth that was eaten up by the moss. So, you know, like if you leave cloth outside for a long period of time, it'll start dissolving and getting eaten up. And those people that initially were against him and fought against him and disagreed with him, they're like they're going to get eaten up like an old, worn-out, moth-eaten, you know. I think even today when you want to insult somebody, you call him like moth-eaten, you know, like he's like a bum or something. He's like, you know, just he's disintegrating, something like that. Moth-eaten, you know, just, you know, nothing... The whatever the strong fabric is not there. Mi bechem, who amongst you, Yirei Hashem, who fears Hashem? Shama b'kol, listens to his voice. We talked about this sometimes also, that there's actually following the rules, and then there's also the voice, which means being in the spirit of what Hashem wants. It's not just about there are technically rules, but there's also the voice of Hashem. It's the hearing His voice. Shomei b'kol abda asher holach hashechem. Sometimes a person has to go and it's dark, meaning that he doesn't see. It's not always popular to do the right thing, and we don't always have an immediate announcement that everything will be fine. Like sometimes we do the right things, but it seems like we're going in darkness. It won't bother a person. Yiftach b'shem Hashem. Let him have trust. Have bitachon. Have faith in the name of Hashem. The name, by the way, means like sometimes we know Hashem's name. We don't actually see it, but we know it. We have faith in Hashem's name. V'yishen be'elokav. Let him rely on his God. We can have faith in Hashem. This carries us through in times of darkness. We live, you know, in a Gentile world. We're the minority. There's a lot of we live in a cruel world. You know, there's a lot of the Jewish people has a lot of enemies. There are things that happen that we don't understand. But we go with the faith in the name of Hashem, and we can rely on Him. And it's more than that. Be'elokav, He's my God. He's personal. I can lean on His God. That means He's my Hashem. Now, what about the outside world there? They try to... how do they deal with the darkness? So he's talking again to Jews in a time of darkness, in a time of not knowing. We put our faith in Hashem and we rely on Hashem. And even if it's dark, we know that He's going to come to our aid soon and He will help us. There are other people, though. Ehein kulchem, all of you. Kodkei'esh. They have these people that try to kindle fires on their own. They make up their own religion. They have their own solution to the problems. In other words, it's not Hashem. It's not morality. What they do is they want to light their own fires. Ma'azrei dikos. It's like they make their own sparks. L'kuba or, and they go by their own light. Eshkem, they wake up on that. Ubazikas. Va'artem yadi. They light their own fires. He says, these ideas, these religions that people make up their own, man-made religions that they vote on, and they decide their own rules and their own things, and it's not with Hashem, they're going to die depressed. They're going to die, he says, in grief you shall lie down, they'll be disappointed in the end. There were so many Jews that were socialists. There were so many Jews that were really... that believed that that would get rid of anti-Semitism and that was the solution to the world's problems. And the interesting thing was that when Stalin came to power, one of the things he did was he sent to the labor camps all the outward Jews, all the Jews, and most of the Jews, lots of Jews, and also lots of communists. Because he didn't want people that had put him in power and known to put him in power, and so the labor camps were filled with. So the joke was that it's just like in the times of the Tsar, where the Jews and the communists were. All the communists were all the people who had started the revolution. I think I read that out of the original Politburo, I think it was 24 out of 28 were sent to the camps. Right. Like anybody who had a memory who would have known what went on in those. See, initially he wasn't the chosen one to take over from from Lenin, and he didn't want anybody. All the original Communist Party members were all eventually done away with, and so and to us that's the Pirkei Avos, you know, because they did it to others. That's what happened to them. They had a Jewish section in the Communist Party that destroyed the Jewish community, destroyed the shuls, and got rid of all the rabbis, and destroyed the mikvahs, and every single, that whole group was sent to Siberia. It was all wiped out. The same group that thought that by helping Stalin this would be good for the Jews, they themselves were sent to. He got rid of all the Jews in the party too, except for one, Kaganovich, who they say was like married a sister of his or something, or was. He was somehow Lazar. There was one Jew that somehow was sound like the Lazar Kaganovich. Nobody knows what the story was, but other than that, all the original Jews, Trotsky, and there were a few of them that were original. One of the reasons that the Poles hated the Jews, or they claimed to, was because the communists that had taken over Poland were mostly Jews. They were very heavily involved in. It's hard to blame the Jews. They lived in such a harsh world. They saw that as a solution. There were yeshivas that were taken over by communists. They were infiltrated, and the communists came into the yeshivas, and they secretly, you know, passed out literature, and they won over people. Like I said, in the turn of the century, the Jews that came to this country were all socialists. That's just who they were. That's how they were taught. That's how they believed was good for the world, you know, that everybody would And the founders of the State of Israel were also socialists. That was the original kibbutzim. Mm-hmm. The whole idea of the kibbutz was let's create a society where it wasn't exactly the same way Stalin did it, but it was. But the only point I'm trying to make is that they thought this would save mankind. And today we laugh at it because the whole world needs to save all the communist countries from the ideas that they created. But he says it's very clearly over here that these ideas in the end would die depressed, would die sad. So you can't start your own fire. Anything that isn't the fire of Hashem, anything that isn't the light of Hashem is going to destined to go out and it's not a good idea. There's no other religion or other idea that will work instead. Okay, 51. Shimu Eli wrote Say Tzedek. Listen to me. Now, who are those? It's very interesting. I kind of see this. Now he's going back and talking to these later generations who want to seek out Hashem. So how do we seek out Hashem? How do we find him? What do we do? So the first thing is, he says, people that chase after justice, Rotfei Tzedek, who seek after the right thing, tzedakah. Mevakshesh, they seek out Hashem. So listen to me, those that are looking to do good, looking to do the right thing. So what should you do? Habitu el tzur chetzatzim. Study where you came from. Look at the founders of the Jewish people. Most people say this refers. We're going to see in the next verse that he's saying, "Study the avos. Look at your forefathers. If you want to see the way to go, study the deeds of the forefathers." The Amakev is born to Kartim. Look back at your roots. We have a lot to be proud of. Study the forefathers. That's verse 2. Habito Avram. Look at Avram Avichem, and look at Sarah. Tachol Lachem. There's an interesting idea that. It says that Hashem chose Avraham, and there's a verse that says that in the end of time, people will come back through the original ideas of Avraham. We have an idea, he was the founder of the Jewish people, and then there were other ideas. There was Avraham, there was Yitzchak, there was Yaakov, there was Moshe, there was David. But, for example, the first blessing where we say the God of Avraham, and then we finish by saying Mogen Avraham, because there's the idea that, people can always relate to Avraham. Avraham was living in a world where everybody else was doing different things, and he found Hashem on his own. He found that his father wasn't really. His father was an idol worshiper. And so we look to Avraham and we look to Sarah because their approach was seeking out kindness. And you remember they had a free hotel where they took care of all the guests. That's an amazing. But people can look at that, and Hashem called out to them, Barbechei, when I blessed them, Barbeyu, and I made them multiply. So the redemption, it says that Zion will be redeemed with tzedakah, which is the quality of Avraham, which is kindness or good deeds. That's really just have to look at the forefathers and follow in their ways. Verse 3, and what will happen? Kinichem Hashem Esiyon. Hashem will come back to Zion. Hashem will comfort. The same word as Menachem, or the Nichem Hashem Esiyon. Hashem will comfort Zion. Hashem will come back. And now, not only is there the Jewish people, but there's also the land of Israel was destroyed. Don't worry about that either. Hashem said, I'm going to fix the land. In fact, when people traveled the land of Israel, they said it was a desert. It wasn't habitable. It had fallen into that so many armies had gone through the land that they had destroyed it and the water supply. And you go there now and you almost don't realize what it was 50 years ago. It was a desert. And so Hashem says, "Don't worry about that. I'm going to come back to the land and the Yosef Midbar. I'm going to make it flow." When Jews came back to Israel, they did so with great dedication. There was it was a desert. There wasn't enough water. There was all kinds of diseases, malaria, other things. And they initially came. It wasn't easy. In other words, the Jews that came and rebuilt the land of Israel was with great self-sacrifice. But they had this guarantee from Hashem that they would succeed in rejuvenating Eretz Yisrael. Yasem Midbarak Eden. He said, I'm going to take a desert, and I'm going to make it like the Garden of Eden. That's pretty good. I don't know if we're quite there yet, but we're getting there. It's better than it was. And it is absolutely amazing. You go to the land of Israel, and you can go to certain places and see the desert, and then you come to the place where they're inhabited, and you see, you know, you see trees and you see grass, and you can't imagine, like, how did this happen in the middle of the desert? It happened with, you know, Hashem, like, turned the desert back. So Hashem says that you'll be able to do that. You'll take the desert and you'll turn it into Ke'eden, which means like Eden. For Avasa Kegan Hashem, it'll be like so delightful, it'll be like a garden. In those days, that was like the ultimate, was being in the garden. It was like had a lot of shade and you had good fruit to eat, and it was like a Gan Hashem, like a garden of Hashem. Now, you'll find two kinds of happiness. Very interesting, in the Torah you find many different words to describe. There's one kind called sason, and there's another kind called simcha. They have many different words in the Torah for happiness. It's very interesting. Language always tells you about different people. You study, like, certain languages have certain words for, you know, some languages have words for drinking, and for some words have words for certain kinds of behavior. The Torah has a lot of words for joy. Gila, Rina, Ditsa, you know, Ava, like different words for love, there's different, but there's Sasan and Simcha. He says over here that in the land of Israel, it'll be like the Garden of Eden, and you'll find happiness and joy, and you'll find it. You won't have to pay, you know, finding it means like you just, look, it's here. I found it. Yematibo Toda, and you'll find Thanksgiving. That's a good, you know, we're getting to Thanksgiving season, but, and the word Jew means to give thanks. In other words, we will come there with, we'll feel gratitude. The Kol Zimra, and there'll be a happy voice of song. And so all of this, so again, he's speaking to people that are in exile, so to speak, and he's saying we should listen to the voice of our forefathers, and we'll come back to Zion in great joy. Verse 4, Hakshiva Eli Ami. He says, all you got to do, listen to me, my people. Ulaumi Eli Tazinu, give me ear, ki Torah mi'iti tete, because Hashem is communicating to me the Torah, communicating to me the rules. Umishpati la'or ami margia. And my rules are for the nations, they're for the people to follow, and they will be expressed to everybody. You know, in other words, they will come out. Karus tidgasi yatsi, soon my righteousness will be revealed. Yishai uzroya ami, and it'll go out to the people, and some people are going to be punished. Yishpute Elayim, and from all over the world, people will come to Hashem for justice. Those Roy Yecholin, and they will have faith. They will see that Hashem is true. Verse 6. Se'ula Shemayim Einechem, lift up your eyes to heaven. Fabita El Oretz, and look at the land mitachat. Ki Shemayim Ka'ashen Nimlachu. We see many things in life, many ideas that come and go. And sometimes people are impressed with nature. But usually the heavens and the earth, we think of being very permanent. And he's saying that whatever you think is permanent, could be will disappear, but there's something even more permanent than that. Ki shamayim ka'ashinu, the heavens might go up in smoke. And the land, it could be like an old cloth that rots away. And all the people, they can die. In other words, the earth, the heavens and the earth, and the people, they come and go. But there's one thing that's permanent. Yeshuasi la'olam tiya. My salvation. My faith in Hashem. That lasts forever. That's something it's never going to disappear. It's not like some new communism that's going to come and go, or some new idea, or some new, Obamacare, or politics, or whatever. It sounds good. Maybe they'll fix it, maybe they won't. But there are all kinds of things that come and go, and come around. But Hashem's salvation, trust in Hashem, that's going to be around forever. V'tzidkasi, in my righteousness, lo seichas. You're never going to be, doing the things in the Torah, you're never going to go wrong. Shamo Eli, listen to me, Yodei Tzedek. You know, people in their hearts know. Sometimes when you hear something, it rings true. You know, you study Torah, there's something inside you that tells you, you know, this is it. Yodei, you know what's right. I'm Terasya Belibam. This Jewish people, they have Torah in their hearts. We're taught that people are actually taught Torah before they're born, that it's like in their consciousness. And so when they learn it, it strikes a chord, and they say, yes, I'm, you know, deep inside me, I heard this before. I don't know when, I just, you know, we were there. People, they make fun of us, you know, these, all of a sudden somebody says it's old-fashioned, it's this, it's that, it's, we don't worry about these types of things. We live in a world where they keep changing their theories, you know, whatever they tell you, you know, that's why evolution doesn't bother us, or, you know, they'll have a new theory next year, you know, the Big Bang, or this, or is it global warming? Well, maybe it's not warming, but it's climate change, okay, you know, it'll be different, there's just always different. We're an ancient people, we've been around a long time, we've heard it all before. The people that worship the idols said to us, you know, you can't be a god because you can't see your god. Our god, we can show you. You know, here's the statue, you know. And we've been around a long time, and their insults and their things don't faze us. Verse 8, and he gives this analogy also. I wonder if the cloth just wore out very quickly. And you know, if you don't have if you sleep on the ground or whatever, or you have, you know, cloth disintegrates, I guess, quickly if it has moisture and... He begged Yochlan, it was just like a cloth gets eaten up by the worms, the moss, Kesema Yochlan Sam, and like they eat the wool. You know, everything in life is temporary. Everything is disposable. Everything gets thrown out. But not tzedakah, not righteousness, not goodness. L'olam Tia, that lasts forever. Vishuasi and my salvation with Dor Dorim. So, you know, these ideas here are something that's going to outlast time. So, what do you do though? How do you experience this? How do you get into it? Uri, you wake yourself up. Uri. Some person can wake up themselves. They can live she'o. The person can gird themselves with strength. It's a very interesting expression. Sometimes it makes it sound easy, like, you know, dress yourself in strength. In other words, it's like just like you can put on a sweater. If you need the strength to do something, you can, you know, put on the strength. You know, you wake up this morning and say, I've got to go to shul. I'm going to get dressed, and I'm going to go to shul. So you just like you're going to get dressed, you're going to put on your coat, you're going to put on the strength to do this that you need to do. But he describes it as dressing yourself. You just dress yourself with strength. You know, that easy. But it means that when a person is motivated, he can find the strength to do the things that he needs to do. Zroy Hashem Uri ki make Hanim. Awake yourselves up like the old fashioned days, like the days of old. Doros Olaim Halal Ati and Maksevis Rahav Moles Tanin. This is the power that had destroyed the ancient power was Egypt, and so Hashem is the power that can destroy Egypt and destroy the sea monster. These describe the ancient kingdoms. They were like the Romans and the Greeks and all of the, you know, today it's the Nazis and the communists or whatever. We don't worry about Nazis and communists. You know, we have new kinds of anti-Semites, and I'm sure there'll be new ones. But all the old sea monsters we were able to conquer. Verse 10, Aladu Amachavez Yam, Hashem destroyed the, can dry up the sea and the deep. And sometimes you can't get to where you want to go because you got an ocean in front of you. You got waves. You can't. How are you going to cross that? Well, Hashem has no problem. We've always been able to make a path for us through the deep seas. Sometimes a person sees too many problems, too many difficulties in serving Hashem. There are people I know that you know, for years make the same excuses why they don't do certain things. You know, I couldn't possibly. I know people like, you know, you know, why don't you come to shul more often, or why don't you observe the Sabbath, or why don't you keep kosher? I believe in it; it's a nice thing, but it'd be too hard for me. I couldn't possibly do this because, you know, X, Y, Z, whatever it is, it's too expensive. I can't afford it, or I don't live in a place where there's people that I can buy it. I don't. Whatever people's excuses are, Hashem says they're not excuses. In other words, Hashem can deliver. He can make a path through the desert. Upiduya Hashem Yeshuvun, and those people that are redeemed, they'll come back. Ubo Tzion, and they'll come to Zion, Berina, with great happiness, with a Simchas Olam Al Rosham. And they'll have not a temporary happiness, not like somebody that gets drunk or something. They'll have the happiness that'll last forever. And it'll be on their head. They'll wear it like a crown. Safanu Simcha Yasizun, and they'll reach real happiness. It'll be something that they've reached. And it's very interesting. You have to reach happiness, and you have to get rid of sadness. Nasu yakum v'anacha. You'll get, because really there's both. You know, you can be happy about the happy things, but you're also sad about, you know, there are different things that upset us. So Hashem says, we'll take care of both. These people, those that return to Zion, they'll be happy, they'll achieve the happiness, and they'll get rid of all their woes and worries. Nasu yagam v'anacha. So it sounds good. We'll hopefully soon. So, and that's where we'll stop over here on verse 12.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.